And that's the nicest thing anybody said about Norm in a long time, so bless the Lord. Kevin and Janice, welcome. Nice to have you here this morning. Yep. And I don't know if everyone knows my son Andrew and Andrea's wife, and that's Monica, who turns one today. And yeah, pretty exciting. And then TJ and Felicity, and they're in the back with all the kids. They got something special for you this morning, so that'll be exciting. So let's open with prayer, shall we? Father, we just thank you for the beautiful day that you've given to us this day after Christmas, and the opportunity we have to again remind ourselves of this great time of year. Lord, we're so blessed in so many ways, and hear our praises. And Lord, inspire us again. Remind us that you are an amazing God doing amazing things. And so we just thank you for all that you are. And thank you for what your son did 2,000 years ago so that we could have the joy of knowing him even on this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Phil, do we have any announcements other than Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year? And are there any birthdays or anniversaries? There are. Well, let's at least do those, please. So Crystal and Monica both have a birthday today. Wow. And Kevin and Reg. Okay, thank you. Anniversaries? Yay. The only problem is, Phil, we don't know what day your anniversary is. Do you remember? 27. The 27th. How many years have you and Liz been married? 36. Well, congratulations. All right, we're going to turn it over to our worship team. I think you better be ready to sing today. What do you say? Yeah. All right.
If you're able, feel free to stand.
I liked it all the way up to the part where they all lay down and slept. And I thought to myself, I could do everything till that part. And then I don't know, Norm, how you and I would get up after that, right? Do you remember when we were all young? Isn't it good that the Lord says you can still be childlike? You know, oh, it's been great. So let's just take some notes of praise this morning. What's the Lord been doing for you? How's Christmas been? What's going on with your family? Yes, I should take that off. You're right. I was so excited. Yeah, that's right. May?
Russia, well, that's Europe. But one night when we were going through the resort, they were playing O Come All Ye Faithful. And I thought, no matter what language people speak,
yes,
they will all relate to O Come All Ye Faithful.
That's neat, May. That's really neat.
Actually, we did really well down there. We met a lot of nice people. But we tried our best. We were praying for people because they lost their spouses just before the trip, within a couple of weeks. And so we prayed for them, and they were from Montreal, and there's a couple here we're going to be meeting later on. But all in all, we turned around and had a great time praying for people. So the Lord was working through us even down there.
So you were saying there were three or four folks that arrived, their spouse had just died before they were supposed to be on the holidays. Yeah. Boy, that's a tough one. Yeah.
They were crying too.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure. All right. Victoria?
Hello. So I did my first shift with Overt on Saturday night. It was a tough one. But there was a huge positive, and I really have to thank the Lord for it, because there was a 70-year-old and a 68-year-old couple with a daughter had totally lost everything in a fire, everything, government documents, everything. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to call them and talk to them, and didn't realize the husband had dementia, but anyways, he was the only one there, so I was talking to him, called them back, just to get consent for everything. And the wife gets on the phone She says, I can't believe how good God is. And I said, in my mind, in the midst of this, especially on Christmas Eve, you can still say how good God is. Because what had happened was they lost everything, like literally everything, just except their clothes on their back. And the community came, the whole community, Kingston, came together and filled their hotel room with Christmas gifts, meals, and she says, God is good. And I said, amen to that one.
That's fascinating, Victoria. Yeah, we take for granted, oh, we're going to go home, we're just going to have our dinner and sleep in our beds, and yeah. Yeah, every day. Every day. Right. Thank you, Victoria. That's a good word. All right, anybody else want to share something this morning? All right. Well, let's just take a moment and pray, shall we? Father, this is a glorious day. We have been singing about your praises. We've been blessing you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for all the Holy Spirit does in his comfort of us. And as we start into this week, Lord, we know you're going before us. We know you're going to direct us to people, to situations, conversations, prayer. Everything that you have in mind for us, Lord, we want to be as open as possible to what you're doing. And so, Lord, we again thank you for this Christmas season, another year in which to celebrate the reality of our faith as Christ followers. Lord, it amazes me how, as Victoria has said, that even in the midst of such incredible loss, people can still enunciate that you're so good. And Lord, may that be our reality no matter what happens in these days. You're in charge, and you lead us, and we follow you. Bless each and everyone who's here at this service today. Whatever their needs are, whatever issues they're going through, my prayer is that you would reach down to the deepest area of their lives and just pour your love into that. If they need forgiveness, may they receive that today. If they need a sense of what truth is, that you'd give them that. Whatever is necessary for them to be drawn closer to you. And so, Lord, we just bless you. We thank you for the freedom we have to worship openly. And the reminder, as May has said, it's a challenge. Oh, come all ye faithful. And so we do that this day in honor of you. And bless this service as we continue on, and bless our kids' church as they enjoy time together. Thank you for their young lives, and may you continue to work in them as they continue to grow and mature in their faith as well. And we thank you in your powerful name. Amen and amen.
And I'm going to say this right before you come. So this is second last service that you're doing. Talking about Christmas, or was that Christmas Eve that you were telling us about last night? Is that Christmas Eve, or are you talking about it today? Today. He's got new insights on Christmas now, even now. So I'm looking forward to hearing these. Would you come, and we'll be blessed as you share the word with us this morning.
Nice to have my son back. Keeps me organized. Are we taping this service, dear? We got the... It's on? We're good? How many of you remember as children playing red light, green light? Red light. Green light. Oh, no, green light, red light. You remember, you never get it straight. And somebody was always running when it was supposed to be red light, and then they ran didn't run when it was green light, and you hope never got to the end. I'm not talking about that today. I want to talk to you about a different red light, green light from Scripture. And I think you're going to find this fascinating. As my son said, I never cease to be amazed when it comes to things that God has for us. There's always something new. Always something new. And so I want to start, of course, this is the Sunday after Christmas, and so I want to read for you from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And you'll know the story well. It's the story of the wise men coming to Bethlehem several months after Jesus was born. And it said, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, Herod inquired of them where the Christ was to be born, and they told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and they worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." You know, I've often wondered if the Lord has all of this on video. I would love to see the Bethlehem scenario in the time from when Mary and Joseph arrived. We were having a discussion the other night over whether or not Joseph delivered the baby. Because when you think of the manger scene, don't you think of Mary and Joseph and a donkey and a cow? Well, we were starting to think that there would have been a lot of midwives in Bethlehem, though the town was crowded, and there would have been a lot of people maybe living in the stable with them. I can't believe they're the only couple that didn't have anywhere to live when they arrived in Bethlehem. And so, you know, we take the story and we think we know it. And so I want to share some things that I've learned this week that I've never realized before. First of all, I did a little research and found out, of course, Bethlehem's name means house of bread. And so it's designed to show the goodness of God even in the name of the town. It's in a region of Judea in a province that was currently part of the Roman Empire. And what's interesting is in those days, Rome was the chief empire. Basically, it owned all the countries all around the Mediterranean and all the way east, almost to Saudi Arabia. Pompey had conquered this whole region for Rome, and so by the time that Christ was born, now remember, Pompey had gone through and conquered for Rome 63 years before Christ was born, and so Herod then was on the scene by the time Jesus was born. Herod, of course, had to pay for his title. And he was ruling in Jerusalem for 43 years before Jesus was born. And so we need to remember things were well established. Also, because Judea now belonged to Rome, it was considered tribute land. And what that means is that every part that was conquered by Rome had to pay tribute or taxes on a regular basis back to Rome. And so it was used as a taxation base. And remember, we had all the tax collectors, and we think of some of them. We don't realize often they're tax collecting for not the Jews per se, but for the Romans. And so when you think of Zacchaeus and some of these people, they were collecting for years and years, and they were paid from a portion of what they took. Now, at the time of Jesus' birth, Augustus was the emperor. And here's the important point. By the time Jesus was born, the entire world was at peace. There was literally no wars going on at the time of Jesus' birth. What's fascinating in the research I've done in all of this is that in the 6,000 years that people have lived on the face of the earth, there's only been 120 years in that entire time when the world was not at war. And one of those time periods was when Jesus was born. And I want you to keep that in mind in what I have to say in just a moment. Of course, we know the wise men probably came from Saudi Arabia or as far as away as Iran. They would have been very learned men in astronomy and religion and, of course, mathematics. And they would have been searching for what ancient texts believe was a remarkable man who was to be born, who was going to attain a universal empire. Fascinating that even the sacred writings of other world groups proclaimed there was going to be a leader come on the world stage that would run the world. Now, did they learn this from Daniel? I mean, we know Daniel wrote around 600 BC. We know Daniel was in Babylon, serving under several different kings. And so they would have known even what Daniel had written. And we know this from Daniel chapter 9. Now know therefore and understand that from the going out of the world to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there will be 7 weeks. And then for 62 weeks it shall be built again with squares and moat, but in a troubled time. They also knew about this star because not only in their religion group, but also in the Jewish Talmud, it recorded in Numbers 24 and 17 that there was going to be, well, let's see. I could see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall raise out of Israel. It shall crush the head of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth. And so these wise men, whether or not they understood the Jewish religion, knew they were coming to what? Worship. And here's the important thing to note. They were coming to worship a Jewish king. Not of their culture, not of their language, not of their religion. They were traveling for hundreds of miles to worship what? A Jewish king. And no wonder when they got to Herod's realm and went and had an audience with him, he went nuts, because it says, when Herod heard this, in verse 3 of chapter 2, he was troubled, and how much of Jerusalem with him? All of Jerusalem, because all of Jerusalem were kowtowing to him and saying he was the legitimate leader of the Jewish people. And here were these wise men arriving. Now, by the way, were there just three little guys with three camels? Absolutely. You would have had an armed guard. You would have had the cooks, you would have had the tent restorers, because every night you'd have to set up and pull down and pack and baggage and food and water. And I think we're talking hundreds of people. And so here they all are, and Jerusalem's going, what are all these people about? They would have been overwhelmed. And of course, as Herod said, he was troubled. And yet what's interesting, in Micah it says, but you, O Bethlehem, who were too little to be among the clans of Judah, for you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient of days. The scriptures actually said where he was going to be. And Herod was troubled. Is it any wonder that after the wise men left secretly, he killed all the Jewish boys from 2 and under? Because he had to remove whoever this king was that all of these wise men had come to worship. Now let's go on to verse 13 and 15 of Matthew 2. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to whom? To Joseph in a dream, and said, rise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And Joseph arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. And there he remained until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, that's prophet Hosea, out of Egypt I called my son. So let's look at this for a minute. The wise men and Joseph all had green lights or red lights? Green lights. They all had green lights to come and find a Jewish king. Joseph had a green light to go to Egypt, which used to be their mortal enemy. Remember, because after Moses left Egypt, there was a a huge clash going on for years. And yet, in the peace of the day, people could come and go all over the known world, so Joseph could what? Go in relative peace to Egypt. When? In the night, with his wife and a baby, in a child. And the wise men were able to go home with peace, and it was a green light for everybody. Now, what's interesting is in our lives, I think God not only gives us green lights, he also gives us red lights. And so I want to just mention quickly red lights, and then I'm going to ask you the question, how are you doing with your red lights, green lights? Are you fair? Fair enough? Okay. So we know that God also gives red lights, and you remember the story of David when he wanted to build the temple. And here it is in 1 Chronicles 28, verses 2 and 3. King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, O my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build the house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God. And I made preparations for the building, but God said to me, 'You may not build a house for my name, for you're a man of war and have shed blood.' And then God said to me, 'It is Solomon your son who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son and I will be his father.'" So, did David get a red light or a green light? He had a red light. Did Solomon get a green light or a red light? He got a green light. Okay, let me share another story that came across my desk recently that I just found fascinating. I want to tell you the story of Vincent. Here's the story. Vincent's passion for ministry led him to the Belgian coal fields where he preached to miners. He fed the hungry, and he earned a place in the people's hearts. His church was filled to capacity with those eager to learn about Jesus. But his superiors weren't happy because Vincent wore cast-off clothing. He lived in a shack, and he gave his salary away to people. "You look worse than the people you teach," they said. "Well," said Vincent, "wouldn't Jesus have done the same?" His bosses disagreed, and so they dismissed him from ministry. Vincent was hurt, and he was angry. His only desire had been to build a church that glorified God, so why hadn't God let it happen? In Vincent's mind at this point, what did he got? A red light. Now, did he get the red light from God or from men? And yet, he was mad at God because he felt God had blocked him. Let's continue with the story. One day, he watched an old miner struggling under a load of coal. Moved by that sight, Vincent began to sketch the bowed figure. Although he didn't realize it at the time, he discovered his real calling. The young preacher who'd been rejected by his denomination eventually became an artist the world will long remember as Vincent van Gogh. Green light? Red light? So here's what I want to leave with you today. Where are we at? Because sometimes we get red lights and sometimes we get green lights. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't like the red lights. I would prefer yellow lights. But I think very often the Lord says stop, or the Lord says go, or the Lord says wait, I'm working. And in all of that, who loves us more than him? Nobody. And so if we think about the character of God, David records it so well in Psalm 32 and verse 8, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." Who's got his eye on us? The Lord does. John records Jesus saying, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Is God not in the business of green lights and red lights, and nobody can change them? He's looking after you and I. So here's what I want to leave with you this morning. I do believe that the Lord is going to continue to speak to each one of us. How is he going to speak to us? Well, obviously through Scripture, through prayer, through godly and wise counsel, through visions and dreams. I am absolutely stunned at how many Muslim people are coming to Christ. And you know what the biggest reason is? Most of them are having dreams of seeing a man in white. And literally, there are billboards in a number of Arab countries that says, if you've seen a man in white in a vision while you were sleeping, phone this number. visions and dreams are not unheard of. The Lord is going to give you and I green lights. He's going to give us red lights. Why? Ultimately for our good. And ultimately so that we can follow him more faithfully in all that we do in the days to come. So if that's the case, as you head into this week, here's what I want to leave with you. Hebrews 4 says it so well. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then receive with confidence and draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive what? Mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What doesn't the Lord know about us, and how is he not helping us? He helps us in everything. So don't be upset if you get a red light that sometime this week. And if you get a green light, what are you going to do? Go forward. And let's see what the Lord's going to do in this week. Let's pray together. Father, we all deal with red lights and green lights. And sometimes we're frustrated. Other times we're ecstatic. And yet, often we don't see the full picture, and so we can often be frustrated. And yet you know everything. You set green lights in place for wise men to travel hundreds of miles to worship your son. You told Joseph to go to a foreign country, and you gave him a green light to be there and to live there until a king who was trying to kill that young boy had died. And so, Father, give us confidence as we head on into the next days of our life, as we head into a new year in a short period of time, that in all of this, you are giving us red lights and you're giving us green lights. In all these things, may we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we can trust you and that you're an amazing God doing amazing things. So bless this family in these days to come, I pray. In your powerful name, amen. Team, as we head out into this week, we know you're going before us. Thank you for all that you're going to be doing. Thank you that you're bigger than time. Thank you that you're bigger than any issue of our lives. Thank you that you're just in charge. And so to the King of all kings, your Son, to the Holy Spirit, the great Comforter, we just commit ourselves into the care and keeping of a triune God who loves us like no one else. And thank you for blessing us at this Christmas season. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen.